Now, to talk Nashville Predators, Len Gleno.
Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. John Glennon with us from The Athletic. Before the Preds made the trade for P.K. Subban, July was almost irrelevant for NHL free agency talk here in Music City. Maybe I shouldn't even say almost. It was not mainstream. And now they go out, they bring in Duchesne, and it is a big story because they trade away P.K. Subban, the player that made something like this possible, quite frankly. They make the trade for P.K. Subban. They go on the Stanley Cup final run. Duchesne's attracted to Nashville, and that's where we'll start with John Glennon. John, is this the first player in free agency that has sought out Nashville with big interest without Nashville having to make a trade or draft the player and then show them why Nashville is legit?
I think it's certainly one of them. You know, I think if you go back to much earlier in franchise history, you look at Paul Kariya was kind of a milestone mark. It was sort of similar. It was a big surprise that a guy of his stature would kind of pick of all teams. The Predators back around 2004, that neck of the woods. But certainly, yeah, this was Matt Duchesne was one of the top three or at the very least top five free agents out there. The best center on the market if you're looking for a long-term contract. And this is the kind of the deal that we haven't seen often in Predators history.
How does he help with the power play?
Scores goals, which is the best way to help out with the power play. You look back at his last couple of years, combined 15 goals, 27 points. You compare those figures with anybody on the Predators over those 2 years, it tops everybody on the team the last couple of years. So that is a big boost in and of itself. And just overall, this is a forward core that desperately needed more offense. You know, the last 5 years, this forward core has been among the lowest point totals in the league. So Duchesne should be a big boost in that department.
I'm confused with the numbers because I'm showing Subban with 35 points over the last 2 years on the power play. Josi with 32, Forsberg and Johansson with 31. I'll defer to you on all that, John, but that was the notes I brought in this morning.
All right. Your notes may have topped my miscalculation. That may be a case.
No, again,
and recalculate.
Again, I'm deferring to yours there, but I apologize if I've been saying that over the last couple of hours here that he's not in the top four for power play points over the last two seasons.
So you'll cross check that. But here's my question.
I would say it's at the very least the 15 goals
yes.
has topped anybody on the Predators over the last 2 years, and that as I say, that in alone is a big boost for the power play.
Here's my question: you take Subban and his replacement on the power play, I'm imagining is going to be better than anybody that Duchesne is replacing would have been.
Run that past me one more
so
time.
So take Subban out of the power play. Whoever's correct. Replacing him from the defensive core, that upgrade compared to that change, the gap there is going to be just fine, whereas whoever Duchesne is replacing is going to be a substantial upgrade.
Yeah, I think so. I think for one, a lot of teams have been going with one defenseman and four forwards more often now on the power play. And I think we'll probably see more of that from the Predators, especially with P.K. Subban gone and Matt Duchesne in and a new power play coach. Well, I would imagine we'll see some more of that. And I also think, Dante Fabbro, who is going to fit into a lot of P.K. Subban's situations, has shown, at least on the college level, that he is a very good power play guy. I think he had five goals on the power play alone, I believe, for Boston University last year. Now, obviously, that's not the same as the NHL, but I think he's a guy that you can fit in on the power play and feel comfortable about that if you want to go the two defenders on the blue line route.
John Glennon with The Athletic is our guest, and reading from your story, John, on the amount of money, the salary cap hit, historically for the Preds, Duchesne now is tied with Ryan Johansson for the biggest hit in franchise history. When you combine that with the fact that Kyle Turris is a $6 million hit, does this further illustrate the failure that was Kyle Turris and that type of money and that signing or that trade, or is this simply a sign that David Poile and the Preds are investing a ton of money down the center of the ice with their centers, because now their 1, 2, and 3 centers are $8 million, $8 million, and $6 million. I guess it's sort of how you want to look at it, but what do you think about that situation they have now?
Yeah, it's certainly, I think, a little bit of both. I mean, it's a realization of the mistake that Kyle Turris was, but it also sort of illustrates the fact that the Predators can rebound from those mistakes, you know, much better than they had in the past. I think if, you know, the Predators of 5-10 years ago had made that kind of a financial mistake, it might be years and years before they recovered from it. So, you know, I still think there are probably some dominoes to fall at the center position. I think in a perfect world, the Predators, you know, might well like to have somebody take that Kyle Turris contract off their hands. Now, that's unlikely, given that he's going to be making $30 million over the next 5 years. But then you look at the next guy in line, Nick Bonino, you know, $4 million each over the next 2 seasons. That seems a much more reasonable salary for a team to swallow. Nick Bonino's got good two-way value, good veteran player with playoff experience. So maybe if you move him, move a Colton Sissons into his position, you've relieved a little of the cap situation. Especially at that center position.
John Glennon of The Athletic with us. John, I say, are they significantly better with this move? Probably not. And with the move also factoring PK Subban's not here any longer, they reshuffled some strengths a bit. And I guess you could argue that those strengths in the reshuffling can make them better. But will they make another move this offseason? Can they package a couple of players together to go out and get another quality wing?
Yeah, that's what's going to be interesting to me. You know, they've got about $5 million under the cap right now after Duchesne. And again, if you move a Nick Bonino, that opens up a couple million dollars. You know, there are other possibilities too. So, yeah, I don't think we've seen the end of movement for the Predators yet. But I think this is a move that really had to be made. You know, it's been, as I say, at least 5 years the Predators forwards have really struggled offensively. You know, and you had those big four defensemen together for 3 straight years. Granted, it took you within a couple wins of the Stanley Cup in 2017, but that's it. You know, it's been a downward slide since then. So I think you have to take from that strength, as the Predators did with moving Subban, and add to it an area that was weak. That was certainly the forwards. They've done that. So I think it should make them a better team.
John, do you think David Poile is done, or is he looking at other free agents right now?
I think he's probably looking at other free agents right now. As I say, you know, it also depends maybe on what kind of cap space. They've got about $5 million now. You know, who knows who else moves. You know, maybe they get a little bit more. But, you know, two possibilities of types of players anyway. Maybe you try to find another veteran defenseman to help that transition of Dante Fabbro. Maybe he doesn't immediately jump into the top four. If you can get a veteran D that can take some of that time away right away, or perhaps you add like a sandpapery third line type forward. You know, I really would have liked to have seen Corey Perry, as much as I don't enjoy some of his playing style. It would have been very interesting to see what he would have brought to the table here, because I think they could use a little bit of that edgy kind of aggressive type player. So those are the two types of players I could see the Preds going with now. And maybe, again, they'd have to open up a little bit more cap room. If they did that, maybe there's still a forward that can be a top six forward out there.
You know, I'm a big proponent of sandpaper in the Titans locker room. I don't have nearly the feel for the Predators room. But does Duchesne bring maybe a little bit of a characteristic that the room doesn't have without him?
In terms of sandpaper and edge anyway, that's probably not Duchesne's game. That's not necessarily his style. In fact, he's a very good offensive player. Probably not a great two-way guy necessarily. So in terms of that, that's not your type of player. But you know, I think to me, this is an area where Duchesne, this is an opportunity for him to kind of step up too in terms of leadership and what he's done with his career. You know, this is a guy who was number three overall draft pick 10 years ago. He's been to three playoffs in his career, and he's got one playoff series victory. So as much as he's put up some good numbers individually over the years, this opportunity here with the Predators is really a chance for him to show he can turn his own success into team success.
The Midday 180 breaks down the X's and O's with NFL Films' Greg Cosell. Presented by the Huffaker Group of Keller Williams Realty. Wednesday afternoons at 12:20 on 104.5 The Zone.
John Glennon with us, talking Predators hockey. Matt Duchesne is a Predator. Got the guy they wanted. John, they have... They've been intrigued with Duchesne for quite some time. There was trade talks back in 2017, and now the offseason of 2019 is when they land him. Why have they been so interested in Duchesne, even when he was with the Avs?
Well, you know, as I said, this is something that, you know, kind of the lack of offense up front is not something that is brand new to the Preds. The forwards, while they've been good, and certainly I think there's a top-quality line here for the Predators, the depth scoring overall for the Predators always seems to be an issue. They thought they had the problem solved, I think, you know, when they traded for Kyle Turris a couple of years ago in that three-way deal. But with Turris's big drop-off last year, that has proven not to be the case. And, you know, he just adds a lot of different things. As I say, there's speed, there's goal scoring, there's power play help, there's face-off success. All these things should be able to boost the Predators.
Rookie camp last week, Tolvanen was in town. What is his floor? What's his ceiling this upcoming season? And do you believe that he can be the wild card for them?
I do think so. And I think there's at least a couple of encouraging signs for Tolvanen. One is the way that he finished in Milwaukee. And you have to remember that last year for Tolvanen, that was the first year that he played a full pro season with the North American rinks, which, of course, are smaller than the European. It takes some time to adjust. And it looked like for the first half or even two-thirds of the season, you know, kind of so-so, all right. He needed to get comfortable and really got on a surge towards the end of the year. I think in the last 14 games, that's 14 points. The sense was that he was feeling much better about his own game. He was feeling more comfortable in the North American rinks. And then also, you know, I talked to him last week. One of the things he's already done is hired a personal skating coach for the offseason. You know, the Preds wanted a bigger, stronger, faster version of Elie Tolvanen. He'd never had a skating coach before, so that should be a boost, too. If he can find some openings on the ice, then he's got a tremendous shot. So I think there are some optimistic signs for Tolvanen, but I agree with you that it's going to be a big season for him coming up.
I am not a believer in this, so I'm completely doing the devil's advocate thing. I've got a friend who believes in it. I don't believe in it at all. I don't care what Kyle Turris does for Canada one bit, and I don't. It doesn't influence for me his standing with the Predators one bit. But my friend says, well, look at what he does for Canada over there. Maybe they know how to coach him, and Peter Laviolette and his staff don't. Maybe that's on Laviolette and his staff, and maybe Canada knows what to do with the guy. Any credence at all from your vantage point to that?
I wouldn't necessarily say so in terms of Canada, because I would tend to agree with you just because he's racking up points against Great Britain and Austria and you know, some better teams doesn't necessarily mean he's doing it at the NHL level. But that said, you know, Kyle Turris is a guy that has produced pretty regularly everywhere else he's been. And that at least raises the question of what's going on with the situation in Nashville. Was it just a deal where Kyle Turris never really got back to himself after that injury last year? Or is it you know, some friction with the Peter Laviolette system? And Kyle Turris sort of vaguely referenced that once or twice, that maybe he was kind of free to play more of his game for Canada. You know, not direct references to the Peter Laviolette system, but seemingly some indications. So it bears watching. And I think also along those lines, you know, let's remember too that the players that came in for the Preds last year in terms of the trade acquisitions didn't shine. You know, granted it's a short amount of time that they were with the Predators, but they didn't take off either. And so I think, you know, there's a little bit of a spotlight on Peter Laviolette there too. Some of these guys that have come in recently haven't necessarily taken off. So at least raises the question of the system and whether it needs to be tooled a bit.
Let's go back to Matt Duchene for a moment. I know you didn't cover the Avalanche, but to the best of your knowledge, what was the problem with him and that franchise? What was the stumbling block for him having more success with that team and wanting out, and sort of both sides wanting him out?
Yeah, you know, I think there was certainly some inconsistency on the part of Duchene's game. You know, as I said earlier, you know, this is a guy who was number three overall pick in the draft back in the day, only behind John Tavares and Victor Hedman, and very good player, but not necessarily spectacular player. And as I said, not necessarily a two-way guy. You know, you look at a Ryan Johansson, say, he's going to give you a good effort offensively, defensively. He's a guy that can play on both the power play and the penalty kill. That's not the case with Matt Duchene. He's not going to be a guy that can help you on the penalty kill. He's, you know, the questions on his game are defense-oriented. And consistency-wise, there was some up and down to his game as well. So I think that was probably the friction with Colorado and ultimately the reason that they didn't, you know, that he didn't stick there.
Yossi, we have not seen much on the contract front there. Well, what can you tell us about talks? Because we have seen some of the players across the league recently with a year left re-up.
Yeah, this is really about the time today that things should get started in that department for Yossi and the Predators. Very confident that they will find a solution before the season starts. You know, this is what David Poile has done ever since, you know, Shea Weber signed that offer sheet and Ryan Suter left by a free agency. David Poile's taken a very specific approach to future free agents he wants to keep, and that's to get the contract done a year before they come up. We've seen that happen a number of times over the years with the talented players. So I still think that's going to happen. Both sides want to make it happen. And the fact that Subban's money, is no longer in the equation also makes it a little bit easier. So I still feel there's a high degree of confidence we'll see that done before the start of the season.
John Glennon of The Athletic has been our guest. John, thank you for the insight with all of this. We'll be reading your work at The Athletic.
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate it, Glenn Glennon.